Hello, Miss Ellis.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
You can't tremendously. I read the editorial yesterday. I think it was yesterday, and the manner in which it ended, to me, was, and I would ask you to spend 2 minutes and listen to how the Bisolan developed with Mr. Brathwaite.
This is the question of Ryan Brathwaite.
I can't hear you.
This relates to Ryan Brathwaite and the land that you had offered him?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me hear you.
Good. Thank you. When he won the gold medal, I was aware of it. Shortly after, I was driving through Hillaby Village, and I saw a big painting mural on a front shot, in front of a shop. And I was told that my brother had done it. I said, well, let me see if I can do something to help him, because he's obviously come from there. I made inquiries, and I heard he was born and raised in that village. Okay, I had land bordering that village. So I decided that I would give him a piece of land, and the easiest way to get it passed would be that it was a continuation of a village. It joins a village. And I had seen, not 100 yards the road from it, a piece of land being developed for subdivision. So I took it upon myself to find out, he wasn't in the island, to find out who his father was. And I went to the port where he works and told him what I would like to do, and arrange that we would meet there, and I own the land on both sides of the corner, and let him choose which he wanted. I went with his father and him, and I can't remember with who else, 85, 30, 86, and don't remember everything, but I remember this vividly. He chose that particular piece. He chose it. Okay. I went to the person in C.O. Williams Construction that does all of that land business. And I said to him, this is what I would like to do. Cut off this, make an application for it, and let's hope that as it joins the village, they will continue the policy to have. He turned to me after 2 days. He said, boss, I gave it a lot of thought. It is 3 acres of land. 3/4 of it is surrounded by road, a part of it joining the village, a part of it main road, and the other part is an inaccessible gully. If I were you, we have run out of land to give, to help good employees of C.O. Williams Construction buy and build a house, and I need help in a big way. Why don't you, as the 3 acres of land is all surrounded, why don't we apply and get everything cut up into pieces, so if you get an employee coming along later on that needs help, we can help him with it. I said, all right, Robert.
But this is a long story. I don't know that. I don't know. Hold on a minute. Sir Charles, I don't know that I can indulge in a full-length story on this. The real important question is this: where are we now in the effort to get this land to Ryan Brathwaite?
No, Miss Ellis. If you ain't gonna let me explain,
what is
it called? Unreasonable.
Listen, I didn't call you unreasonable here, and I am under no obligation.
I didn't say you had.
I am under no obligation to take 10 minutes to go through this. You know, well, I am giving you the opportunity to at least put to the public where what has happened, and essentially where are we going in relation to this. But I don't have no obligation to sit down and listen to 10 minutes of the background to this. What are the essential points? I want you to get to the main points in this as quickly as you can, so that we can, at the end of the day...
And I will do that.
Right, get to understand where
that.
We are.
I made, on that basis, after talk to Mr. Cummins, I applied immediately and made the application to give the lad a piece of land. In the meantime, a lady that worked for Barbados Water Authority approached me and said she heard I'd applied. She has a child that has a problem. Would I consider helping her with a cheap piece of land?
So
I think her name is Miss
Just let me guide this thing by asking you this question. After all of this, where are we now? How soon do you expect that Ryan Brathwaite can get the title deeds for the land?
I couldn't tell you that, Mr. Ellis.
You couldn't tell me that.
Tell you
fine.
That when it's been over 5 years that we've been, you sidetracking me to avoid me clearing my name.
No, I don't want to stop you from clearing your name. As I understand it, you say he chose the land. The essential point is that having chosen the land, according to you, this land did not have approval. And it is the absence of approval that has held up the whole process of the land being transferred to him. Is that correct?
Yes. If the application is passed tomorrow, it will proceed immediately.
So when he chose the land... When he chose the land, he knew that it didn't have approval?
Of course I did. I told you.
No, he did. Did he know?
He did. No, I told him I'm going to apply for approval.
Okay.
And I gave him the reasons.
And he was satisfied with that? And what you're saying is that he was satisfied with that. He knew up front that it didn't have approval because you told him so, that you had to apply for it, and he was satisfied to wait, right?
Well, I don't know what he could do otherwise. I am not under any obligation to give anybody any land, as he's indicated. None. But let me just, please, let me demonstrate to you. In the article that I wrote in the papers about Apes Hill and the problems you get with getting land, this is a letter that I received yesterday from honorable people that are trying to turn the 5 acres that I gave the old gentleman at old lady's home 12 years ago. And they haven't got permission from the necessary authorities in the government to join up the two old ladies and old gentlemen's home to develop the land. This is a letter from a gentleman seeing after. Reading the article recently in The Nation refers to your frustration with government inaction. Reference was made to the lot donated by you to the old people's homes. I wish to let you know that the CCA, Combined Care for an Age, has only this month, Mr. Ellis, 12 years after, has only this month received word that this application can go ahead to merge the assets so that they can build the old people's home. 12 years ago has come throughout. You reading me? The interim building design has been revised to a single-story house. That's immaterial. It took me 12 years to get a gift converted to... The government held it up for 12 years.
Williams?
The last 10.
Mr. Williams?
And then somebody come and criticize me for giving a piece of land that had permission.
Sir Charles, somebody asked this question. You see, you are a major landowner. If you realize that there was a problem with the young man getting the permission in a reasonable
period... I did not realize there was a problem.
Oh, you didn't.
I spent the time to tell you that it was next to a village, it joined the village, and it could easily pass. And the town clerk told me himself that he thought that my thinking was correct. So how could you assume that I didn't know?
Sir Charles, from what you told me, you were the one who applied for the land, okay, for the approval. Therefore, if approval didn't come, you would know whether it did or not. You would also have a sense of how long it was taking for this matter to get approval. So the question is, in those circumstances, could you not have looked to another piece of land that already had approval or discussed with Mr. Brathwaite?
You can tell me that somebody can tell me what I must give away or what I can give away.
All right, well, Ryan Brathwaite is
I told you, I would give him a piece of land.
Okay. Well, Ryan Brathwaite is on the line. Let me hear what he's saying on this. Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What's your version of this story?
Well, the thing is, like, basically your management team is actually rectifying a lot of stuff that weren't really rectified. And, you know, the list that I was given had a lot of stuff being worked on, such as the land, other companies that were involved in a lot of stuff, promises. And, you know, when you were given a letter years ago, I wasn't here in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's really going on. So it had me puzzled.
Right.
So the thing is, I'm not arguing about the land, but it's, come on. If I call communicate with, if I got contact you, well, you can't contact me also. That should be a priority all the time too, because it looks bad on you and the company. This was an international media coverage.
Well, he holds fast to the view that he really is under no obligation to give anybody anything. It is his
land.
But
I'm not arguing, because the thing is, right now, if he wants to be all high and upset about land, I don't have to get land. I'm just showing the public what happens when people do achieve something in Barbados.
That is
what I'm coming
from.
You
feel wounded by the whole process.
Exactly. Mm. It's misled and used and abused your image out there. I'm not putting it on him. But there's other names, other companies that I can see, but I'm not going to see as yet till I sit down and rectify all the situations.
So
that's
the central point that you wanted to make in all of this, that if your name has been used in a way that ultimately gives some kind of PR to anyone or any company, then there is a need to follow through on
exactly
the promises which have been made. Now,
based
the question
on an international
so,
stage,
but,
media.
But remember, I mean, I don't want to have this thing play out too much here, but I try to stay with certain principles. The other part of that, though, is that if you are offered something, like land or a car or whatever, then to a large extent, you would be expected to follow through as well.
Exactly. Not even verbally, but it was written on letters.
Right. Do you think that you had a role in dealing with this?
Well, I had a role in investigating it. That's the thing.
Okay. All right. I don't want to hammer this out any further here.
But I was never told, but I never chose the land where the land was supposed to be.
You never chose it?
I never chose it. So that's why I overheard now conversation that he said that I chose the land.
Okay.
But I did not choose the land.
Okay.
Now I'm hearing that he said that he chose the land because
but that's a fundamental,
it was close to family members.
That's a fundamental difference there, though. So, Charles, you hear that?
No, I ain't heard single word that he said.
He says that he never chose the land.
Ask him if he went on the land with me.
I went on the land, but how can I choose something when you take me to the property? That's what the thing is. I'm not arguing with you, but just don't go there and say that I chose the land. I did not choose the land.
Okay. All right. So Charles and Ryan Brathwaite, this is a very difficult situation here. And I must say that you have to work very hard to make sure, Sir Charles, that at the end of this, you do as much as you can to deliver on the promise which was made. I accept your argument that it is not all about you, it's town planning that was involved. But it's you, town planning, and Mr. Brathwaite. I think you all need to work very closely to bring this to an end. It is unseemly.
Mr. Ellis, what more can I do? I reapplied and for it.
Yeah.
And then I was told that it was visited by the necessary authority at 7:30 or 8:00 one night, and then I got it turned up.
Well,
more can I do?
It has been made public. And I sincerely hope that the relevant authorities will look into this matter and resolve it. It is unfortunate that it has turned out in this particular way. Thank you both. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello? Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the program.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I am. Okay.
Yes. How can I help?
Yeah. Okay. On Wednesday, I called and I spoke with Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I made my contribution. And there seems to be a gentleman that every time I make a point, he always calls in behind me and tries to suggest that I don't know what I'm talking about. So the last occasion, I said that Donald Trump was the service for this time. And he seemed to intimate that I was a soothsayer. All I want to say that Jesus said in the Bible, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more shall they call their of his household? And woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Now, a few years back, everybody in Barbados is complaining about how hard and how tough it's going to be. A little while back, Benny Hinn came to Barbados, and the Christians, they flocked to the gymnasium. And they wasn't there, but they understood that they were trying to collect funds. And the pastors couldn't get the people to put the money in the offering. And Benny Hinn came forward and he said, you know, I know how to do it. And was able to rake in baskets of money. So it seems if you don't have a special hair type or a special skin color, you cannot hear from God. And I just want to say that these are perilous times we are living in. And Barbados need to brace themselves for what is coming. But to get back to my point, I would like the Muslims to read Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1, and it is the board that they don't read that they're supposed to be leaving chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves together and the rulers take counsel, and they can read on for themselves. Barbados was supposed to be known as a Christian country. And I say this, I want who have ears to hear, let them hear. With a church and a rum shop on every street corner. God bless you, Mr. Ellis, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Ellis?
Yes, good morning.
All right, my call is connection with freedom of speech and freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
In Barbados, I think it's relatively easy for any person to say, to speak without hurting other person. And I am finding that internationally, I hear in the UK and most recently in California, that there is a bill before the government which is proposing to restrict services and printed material which would speak against homosexuality. And I'm concerned that in Barbados that things that happen, especially in the U.S., we tend to adopt without even a blink of an eye. The educational material that our children get to read, that go on our book list, the movies that they can watch. I am concerned that Barbados will just adopt things that they're not a part of our culture.
Such as?
We've had homosexuality for all my life. I've known about it. I've heard about where they hang out. And I don't know of anybody trying to create fresh laws to say that they cannot speak, they cannot do what they want to do.
Well, are you getting a sense that that is what is on the cards here in Barbados? I thought that the discussion was going in the other direction, that there are people who are worried that we are becoming too liberal rather than clamping down on the LGBTQ community, that instead of that, they seem to be in the ascendancy. That is what I have been hearing. I don't know that there's any discussion in Barbados right now about clamping down on people's freedom of expression in that regard, or freedom of expression generally.
I'm seeing that when certain things happen, especially in the U.S.
So what specifically is happening in the United States?
Right now, in California, there's a bill before the government which is seeking to give permission to persons to restrict services and printed material, which could also include the Bible, because the Bible speaks against homosexuality, to prevent people from selling any printed material. Or if you have to go for counseling, you cannot say to the person, okay, well, this particular behavior is affecting your lifestyle or where you're having all this depression or whatever. Any services or printed material, and that material could also include the Bible.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. I understand what you're talking about. It's a California bill that could criminalize the Bible's view on homosexuality.
Right.
That's one perspective on it. But to see that as something that is a threat in the context of Barbados, I think at this stage is a bit far-fetched.
I don't see it being far-fetched, because what I've seen over the years is that things that have happened
like what?
In the U.S., we adopt it and we
like
do not
what?
Even... Okay, like even for, how we discipline our kids.
Mm.
I would not say the bulk, even teachers, parents, do not abuse children. I'm not saying that there's no, not even 1% of the abuse. I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying it should ever be condoned. But going to school and a teacher has to give you a lash in your hand and say to you, okay, that behavior is not right. That is not abuse. So we have come to a point where not even the principals, I think, can do it right now. So now we have a situation where our children have taken over the schools. The teachers are now afraid to go to school. The teachers are being beaten. And it means for us that our education system is going down. Our children are coming out and cannot read, cannot write. They're passing through the system. And one of the main things is that there is no true discipline. And to give a child a lash, don't kill them. I haven't died, and you got some, and you're not dead. You're brilliant.
I don't accept the use of capital punishment on any wide, corporal punishment on any wide scale basis. I believe that it is a last resort, but I find that in Barbados over the years, too many people use it as a first resort.
Okay.
And I don't buy into this notion that because you survive all of them blows, and some people were pretty brutal over the years in the way that they administered corporal punishment.
So then you deal with those individuals. You know, and I would know in a school what is happening. You deal with those individuals. You don't just say, okay, nobody is disciplined. Because right now what's happening, our kids have taken over the school. And I'm saying the same way we have adopted certain principles in our education system, we are also adopting them in different sections of our legislature. And I do not want to see that happening in my island.
Well, the question that I have for you is this. And how are you going to position yourself to influence what happens in Barbados? Because this is where I think we are. We are at a stage in the country now where people other than those who sit in government have to find ways and means of trying to influence outcomes in Barbados. And we need to use this particular period to try to entrench that kind of input rather than go through a phase where one leader is open to it and the next leader that comes shuts the door on it completely, and we are back to what you consider to be undesirable when it comes to public input in decision-making and discussion. So what do you think that you can do?
Me personally?
Yes.
One thing that I can do is doing what I'm doing right now.
Call the call-in program.
What I can, no, that's only one. Secondly, I can write articles in the newspaper as well.
Yes.
I can also, the persons that I come in contact with, I can also discuss with them their feelings, their views, and share my views as well. I go to a church. In fact, I recently spoke to the head of my denomination, and I asked him, what is our church doing? What is our church's stand on this position? and has our church made this stand to the government? But he said to me, okay, we had discussions with the previous administration. So my thing is now, who's going to go and look back at that stuff? So it means for us now as a denomination, we too now have to put our cards on the table. Then we also need to join with other denominations and come together as a body and place our case before the government. And I think on an individual basis too, I think we have to teach our people what is the truth or what the Word of God states. And number one is love. I find as soon as you start to speak about homosexuality, there's this thing, oh, hate. There's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere. The first thing it says is God is love. And if you do not love and you hate, the Bible says that you are like an infidel and you're not of God. So the first thing is that God
so
is love.
So may I ask you whether you are in favor of giving greater expression and rights to homosexuals in Barbados, therefore?
What greater expressions, what greater rights than I have? I don't want to restrict this, but they want to restrict mine as a believer.
They want to restrict yours?
Yes.
And how are they setting out to restrict yours as a believer?
Okay, let's look at the U.S. I want to see the U.S.
What about the U.S.? Again, I talk about Barbados. How are you being restricted here?
Can I come out and I say, okay, so-and-so is homosexual?
Can you come out and say that?
It's not an accusation. It's a question.
Whether you could come out and say and say that you're gay?
Mm-hmm.
You mean in Barbados?
Mm-hmm.
You could do it, but you have to be... You must recognize that there still is a stigma. I suppose it is there's a greater stigma against men than it is for women who say, well, they're lesbian, but
there's a
stigma nonetheless.
There's a stigma about being black. I can't change my color. There's stigmas about being female. I am female. So what do I do? I'm going to ask them to ban all the males, ban all the whites, ban all the Indians. No.
Let's cut to the chase with this. Huh? You have your concerns, and your concerns emanate out of what is happening in California. I've been tracking here. Well, I don't know that anything is happening in Barbados right now. You began from the premise that there's a bill in California that you fear could find its way to Barbados because there's a general trend of things that happen outside ultimately seeping into Barbados. There's a bill, for instance, here that would make it illegal to advertise or sell counseling services to people trying to overcome gender confusion or change their same-sex attraction. That's a bill. That is the bill. I believe is being looked at. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't think that we have anything to fear in that regard. Well, in those circumstances, what I say to you, you've raised it here, and if you feel that strongly about it, you keep your eyes on it, you do your research on it, and you try to make sure that you've raised it in church. That's a good place for you to fight that particular battle, and be part of the fight to make sure that there's our freedom, that you as a Christian will not have to retreat because homosexuality is on the ascendancy in the United States or Europe or even here in Barbados in the Caribbean. Thank you very much for your call. On the brass tacks, this matter that has been raised here with Ryan Brass, but at the end of the day though, if a government agency has to approve land for development in that kind of situation, then one way or the next, I think that it should have been done speedily. I mean, the agency may, for one reason or another, determine that it is not going to approve the land for development. But if a person has represented Barbados in the way that Mr. Brathwaite did, and brought such glory to this country, came back here as something of a hero, then, I mean, with all good intentions, other people have offered him gifts, but there needs to be caution that it does not appear as though those who publicly made utterances did so to capitalize on the moment, to get the PR associated with it, but were never serious about following through. And where those people are serious in following through, then the agencies that have to approve of matters like these need to deal with them in a speedy manner so that they too would make their contribution to saying thank you to that person. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to say yes to everything, but I think that for something like this to linger on for so long is in bad taste. And yes, one can understand that you'll be concerned about the optics, you're concerned about how it sounds to have somebody come on the air and complain and sound, you know, different, sound, as far as you're concerned, out of sorts somewhat, but I think a lot has to do with, you know, the pain associated with the whole process. And we need to bring that to an end as soon as possible. He's brought us glory in the past. We said we were going to deliver in a way to say thank you. Let's work on it in such a way that we can deliver to him in the same way that he delivered to us in earlier times. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Okay, I'm a first-time caller. I'm a young lady in my 20s.
Pleasure to have you.
Thank you. And I'm calling in relation to the whole UE matter with the government paying for the students.
Yes.
Okay, so I am a postgraduate student, and I saw this ministerial statement saying that they were going to pay for postgrad students that got a first or upper second class. So I told myself, you know, well, let me find out about it. So I had called, and when I called, they were saying that they didn't know anything about it, meaning UE. So I decided to go, to actually go. And when I went, again, I was getting a whole runaround, and they sent me to the postgraduate studies. Went to postgraduate studies, they were saying they don't know, sent me to another section. When I got to this section, they were telling me basically that they didn't get any work from the government and I'm responsible for my fees. I'm not coming to the whole issue like from an entitled point of view, but it would just be good to know if they're going to pay on time for September or not, because literally I work and I pay already, but I'm not in a high bracket. So basically most of my money goes towards paying for UE. So when I heard it, I felt really good, and I thought it was very commendable. And I do commend the government on the effort. But I would just like to know if it's actually going to start from September or if it's going to take a little longer. I know that the undergraduate students, they're already started because they told me that, but they said they didn't hear anything about the postgrad. But I did.
But they're paying for, the government is paying for your postgrad? Or the promise is to pay for postgrad?
Yeah, they had said in the statement that if you had gotten first or upper second class, they would pay for you.
So you want clarity as to when they will start?
Yeah, when they will start, so I would know how to proceed.
What are you studying?
Biosafety.
Biosafety?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a very important area of development. And you got a lot of people studying in that area in Barbados today?
Not really. There are only 5 other students in my class.
Yeah. And you were driven to go in that direction by what?
Because I thought it was a quite interesting area. I did my bachelor's in ecology.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was interesting. And then the whole area of like plant quarantine and certain things, I wanted to go along that lane.
Explain for Barbadians who may not be too familiar with that area exactly what is involved in it.
Okay, well, I'll just give you a little overview of my master's and what we study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in terms of biosafety, we look at genetically modified organisms, so like genetically modified food.
Yes.
That may be, you know, coming into the country, how they're made, how you test for them, things along that line.
Yeah.
We also look at the policy aspects, so we look at, like the Cartagena Protocol, the Convention on Biological Diversity, things that Barbados are signed on to, and how we are implementing it. So we look at a lot of that, but mainly genetically modified organisms, foods, and testing.
What is your assessment of the kind of emphasis that Barbados is placing on it at the moment, though?
Honestly, right now we started. We have the draft framework in place. But besides that, a lot more hasn't really happened since then.
How much more needs to be done?
Well, they're supposed to be, well, to my knowledge, they're supposed to be implemented like a center so they could do the testing, like a laboratory. They're supposed to be carrying out some more training. It's a series of things that they were supposed to be doing.
Right.
And the master's came out of the same project, because it is the UNEP and the GEF funded project, and that's how the master's came about.
And, you know, there's a lot of concern in some quarters about genetically modified food.
Yeah.
And therefore, from your study of this area, how vital is it for Barbados to have more of a focus on it?
I think it is very important. Firstly, because some consumers might be concerned about what they're eating, you have that aspect. You have the aspect in terms of like our food production, because there is, it's not proven, but there is the possibility of maybe, you know, gene transfer when you get those kind of foods coming into the environment. So I know we would have our own, like native food. So say, for instance, like sugar cane. So you'd want to make sure that we don't have like certain things being cross-contaminated with them.
So it is, you certainly have given us a good insight into why it is important that we back students like you who are studying in these areas, because Barbados needs specialists in these particular fields. I certainly want to commend you for taking the time, raising the issue, and sharing some of that knowledge with us. And I hope that the government will do exactly what you have requested, which is to clarify what is going to happen with respect to people who are doing post-grad studies and the degree to which they are going to be able to finance you. Of course, all of this is tied up with the debate about continuing education, tertiary level education, the extent to which the government should really be paying for post-grad. You know, there are people who feel that students should be able to get their first degree, but they should be paying for their post-grad education. How do you see that?
Honestly, I don't mind contributing a bit, because I have. But the help, it really is needed. I'm from a middle-class home, I would say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not to put anybody in the spot, but like my mom is in school meals and my dad is an artisan, so he's not always working. So yes, even though I do work, I don't make a lot of money. So having to, you know, literally pay, because the master's is $30,000.
Yes, about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so literally having to pay, and the thing about a master's is a short period. It's like 15 months, 2 years, but mine's is 15 months. So having to pay like $1,000 every month, and then, you know, struggle through the rest of the month, can't really help at home. It's very hard. So as I said, I don't mind paying something, but I would still like the help.
Okay. I understand that. But there's another dimension to this.
Mm-hmm.
What about the give back, which is being demanded by the government now? They say, look, we will assist you, but you got to be involved in projects that give back to this community. How do you see that?
Personally, I don't have a problem with it. I think is a good initiative. Like, from my aspect, I usually help out with charities, like the Heart and Stroke Foundation, here and there. I do a bit of teaching, like, where I can, but, like, tutoring and stuff. So I have no problem with the give back. I don't know about my counterparts, but...
The tutoring is for free?
Yeah.
Okay. And where would you... Whoso would you be tutoring? Younger, much younger kids or people in the in secondary school level?
Like CXC, because I like the older age range.
Okay.
Yeah. But I have no problem with giving back. I spoke to some of my counterparts, some of my friends, and they don't have a problem. So if the government, you know, comes up with how they're going to do it, because I think that's what they have to figure out, I don't think people would have a problem with it.
Well, thank you, and we wish you well.
Thank you very much.
Good. Down to brass tacks. The new Minister of Tourism in Barbados has said this.
The situational analysis having been completed, I'm now in a position to say to you that it reveals that the cruise sector in Barbados is in fact in a state of very deep crisis.
He's gone on to say,
we are confronting ourselves with catastrophic failure.
To what extent do you share the view that cruise is in crisis? We want to hear from you this coming Brass Tax Sunday from 11 in the morning in association with Williams Industries Incorporated on Voice of Barbados.